This is the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast, episode 28. Well, good day and welcome to this episode of the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast. I'm your host, podcaster, and author of Fun Fantasy Reads, Jamie Davis. This podcast is exactly what the title says it is, folks. It's a show focused on everything to do with fantasy books. And I mean everything. Whether you're talking about epic fantasy, urban fantasy, weird Western fantasy, swords and sorcery, whatever you want to look for, expect to find the best and brightest authors from all the various corners of the fantasy book world here on the show in each episode. Plus, we often add other special guests as they come up along the way, so please keep your eyes open for that. I'm right in the middle of my first draft for Cybers Underground right now. This is book three in my Sapiens Run trilogy. I also have actually some more travel coming up soon, so I'm trying to actually get the book done before I have to devote more energy to other endeavors, as in family vacation time, which is a lot of fun, but anyone who's gone on a family vacation knows it can be trying in its own way as well. Looking forward to it, though. Sometimes, though, writing is about keeping your writing schedule and expectations on track in the midst of everything else that happens to you in your life. It's often more about that than even putting words down. So as a full-time author, I have to do a lot of things and keep a lot of balls juggling in the air. And I treat it like a job because that means I got to put in the work and put it in consistently and put the hours in to get books out for people like you. It's fun. I love it for the most part, but it is hard work at times, at least for the brain in its own way. As always, if you want to know what I've been up to or what I'm planning on being up to, you can check me out over on my fan group on Facebook, Jamie's Fun Fantasy Readers, and on my website and blog, jamiedavisbooks.com. All right, let's shift gears and talk about our special guest for this episode. I have James Wisher on the show this week. James has been writing since high school, though he only started publishing recently in 2015, thanks to a book he read titled Write, Publish, Repeat by the guys who do the Story Shop podcast. I can actually speak to that myself. That book actually changed a lot of things for me and got me off to a good start in my writing career. Anyway, James has made all the publishing mistakes, and he even names some of them in this podcast, including bad covers, bad editing, and virtually no marketing, but he's cleaned all that up for now, and it goes to show that you can recover from a less than perfect start at anything you do in life. We chat about his books, including The Aegis of Merlin. It's about a young man who learns he's a wizard, even though the entire world believes it's impossible for men to do magic. It's a fun book. I enjoyed it. You should check it out. But also, check out my chat with James coming up right now. James, welcome to the Fantasy Focus Books and Authors podcast. It's great to have you on the show today.
Thanks for having me. My first podcast, so I'm excited to give it a try.
Oh, awesome. Well, welcome. Glad to be the first podcast for you. I hope it's a fun event. We'll have a good time, I promise.
Oh, good.
So why don't we start off by giving you an opportunity to tell folks a little bit about yourself, maybe yourself and your books, briefly, and then we'll dig into the meat of everything a little bit later on.
Okay. I started writing in high school. Senior year, I got serious about it, but I didn't really have much interest in the whole, you know, agent, big five publishing thing. So I wrote mostly for myself until I discovered self-publishing. I got, you probably read it, Write, Publish, Repeat.
That's actually the book that got me started too. So it's very funny. I saw that you wrote that in there. That book, is kind of how I got my publishing career kicked off.
Yeah. I got a 3-book bundle for Christmas of 2014. I had that one. Let's Get Digital by David Goggren and how to Market an Ebook by Joanna Penn.
The big three, right? I think I must have gotten that same bundle at some point. I mean, maybe it was after NaNoWriMo or something, but I picked up those three books as well.
Yeah, it was a 99-cent bundle, and I just thought, I'll check it out. And it's a, well, it really made a lot of sense to me that it was a no luck way to do it. you know, that you wrote a book and you put it out and you just kept doing it and you built your backlist, and you know, it seemed like a very workmanlike way of doing it, and I kind of, that appealed to me.
It, the same thing appealed to me as well. It's not, you know, it's not like a get rich quick scheme by any stretch of the imagination. It requires you to put the effort and the time and the work into it. But there's something to be said for writing a book 5 years ago and having the ability to still earn money from it today while you're working on your the latest project. So I think it's a brilliant concept when you think about it.
Yes. Yeah, it's the system has changed a lot, but the basic premise of work hard and put your books out and, you know, put out good stuff, it still works.
So you said you wrote for yourself and you really liked writing back since high school. Was there somebody that encouraged you to write in high school that kind of made that change for you, or was there a realization that occurred at that time?
Yeah, my senior year English teacher, he let us really write what we wanted, and I finally got to write, instead of essays or analysis, I got to write a short story that was, you know, a fantasy story and something, you know, like what I like to read, and that I really got into it, you know. It was great fun. So that was the first time the teachers let me write what I wanted rather than what they told me to write.
And that isn't that wonderful, you know, when you get that person in your life that encourages you to take that next step and open that creative side of yourself up, because it can be scary to put your creative energy out there for other people to read and have an opinion about.
Yes, I remember when I published my first sci-fi book, you know, when I finally put one out on Amazon and that first sale came in, and there's nothing like that for very first sale to somebody who isn't your mom or your, you know, your some relative.
Definitely. Definitely. You said you wrote the short story back in high school that was something like what you like to read. I assume you primarily read sci-fi and fantasy.
Actually, I read pretty widely, but back then I was reading, I don't know if you read them, the Forgotten Realms, Dragonlance, that
yes,
kind of thing.
Definitely.
Yeah, I read a lot of them in high school, and this was sort of on that idea of, you know, magic and fighting and revenge and assassins and all that good stuff.
And it's funny, I just started reading The Impossible Wizard, and
yes,
I'm really enjoying it. What a great concept, and the characters just kind of jumped out at me right away.
Yes. I borrowed the sort of one guy that can do magic in a world of all the women doing magic from a Japanese light novel. So it's, I'm drawing a blank on the name, but it had something like that where there's only one guy who can do it, and he ends up at a school with, you know, all these women who are doing magic and all the trouble he gets into. And it's sort of on that idea.
It seems like a lot of fun. I'm just past the point where, you know, he's trying to still come to grips with the fact that he's the only guy that can do it, and he's kind of dealing with that adjustment right now. It's a lot of fun, and I like that it's sort of set in a familiar world, but yet it has all of the magic and the fantastical things going on in the periphery, but they're still talking about getting pizza and stuff like that.
Yes. I wanted it to be like our world, but there was, you'll get into it a little. I won't do any spoilers, but there was basically an invasion by what they called elves, and that was changed everything.
Okay, well, I'll look forward to getting to that part, definitely. Did you have, you said you had this other story that kind of kicked in for you and gave you that thought process, but the way the magic works in the story itself, did you kind of make that an amalgam of different types of magical systems that you'd come up with, or is this something that you've kind of developed your own system for?
Well, it's a pretty standard, you know, you got your four elements plus, you know, positive and negative energy. I think it's a fairly standard magic system. I just adapted it, you know, added it as I went. It's not like I planned it. It just sort of evolved as I wrote the books and added a little bit more with each one.
Well, and that brings me around to another question that I often ask other authors, because I'm always curious how other authors arrive at their stories and compare, you know, compare and contrast it with what I'm doing, see if there's anything I can adjust. So my question is, do you find yourself more of what they call a pantser, where you're kind of, you know, making up more as you go along? You might have an idea for the story or an outline even, but you tend to flesh out the details as you write? Or do you really need to have everything pretty locked in before you sit down and start typing in the words?
No, I just make it up as I go for the most part. I have a vague idea, you know, the overall overarching idea, but each individual book it evolves as the character and interacts with the other characters, and you know, this happens and this happens, which kind of ram together in my imagination to the next thing that happens. And I've tried outlining, and I've never been able to follow an outline for more than 5 chapters, so I just don't bother anymore.
Yeah, I think it's everybody kind of falls somewhere along the line there, where they're, you know, more one direction or more the other, but there's always a little bit of planning, at least if it's only that you've had an idea that you've kind of thought out in your head, just to kind of think about. Do you do a lot of thinking about your characters ahead of time?
A lot of this project I thought about while I was writing the last book of the Soulforce saga, my other series. I was kind of revving myself up to write this one as I was finishing up, you know, the last half of the last book of that series. So that's generally when I get towards the end of the series I'm working on now, I've begun to start thinking about the next thing I'm going to do. That's how I kind of, I guess, my planning stage.
Yeah. And I do that too. And it's a challenge because it's hard for me to keep the energy going to finish the current project with its due diligence and positivity, I guess. And at the same time, I'm excited and want to start writing the next project, that, you know, I'm starting to develop that anxiousness to get going on the new thing, the shiny object.
Yeah, that happens. That happens sometimes, but it's the trick for me is to keep going. Once in my imagination, I know how the book ends. It feels like it's done, even though I haven't written the last 25,000 words. So that can be tricky, but it's, I guess, just something you have to power through to get to the next thing.
Yeah, you definitely do. It's not going to be something that you won't finish many books if you can't figure that out. And that's the truth.
Yeah.
So when you come up with the ideas and things like this, you know, you said you had this other series. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
We can. It's more of an epic fantasy. It's got, you know, more swords and horses rather than motorcycles and that kind of thing.
Okay.
That one developed from, I like the idea of, I don't know if you ever watched Dragon Ball, how they have the energy. That's
yes.
Why I base my sorcery for what my sorcerers can do on the power from Dragon Ball.
Okay.
Only it's set in a medieval world, so it's like that.
And that starts with Darkness Rising, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that was the first book I did that was, you know, not something I had written when I was waiting, you know, to make up my mind how I wanted to publish. That was my first big project after I published everything that I had written, you know, just for myself earlier.
So you had a kind of a collection of stuff that you'd been writing all along, but just hadn't really wanted to do anything with it right away. And that's kind of interesting that you were able to pull on that backlist like that.
Yeah, I had five books written, you know, sort of practice, I guess you'd call them, books that I polished up when I decided to publish and put out.
That's exciting. You're the first person I've actually talked with that's had, you know, the back catalog of sorts, you know, in the closet, ready to pull out and publish, at least clean up and publish, you know, and that's kind of, that must have been kind of exciting to do once you realized what your plan was.
Yeah, it was when that first one went out and I saw that, you know, some people were buying and liking. I was like, huh, I can do something with this. And I got cracking on those other ones and got them shined up and got some covers and got them up. I got 5 books up my first year, and that really helped.
Did you find that once you had those five out there, there was there was any kind of difficulty or challenge shifting into, all right, now I've got to write something new?
No, it was actually going reasonably well, and that encouraged me. And I had had this idea for the Soul Force saga, the first trilogy, and you know, I'd been thinking about it off and on while I finished up, like I said, the last of the ones I had to get polished. And by the time, you know, those five were out, I was doing well enough that I was anxious to get those next ones out and keep going.
Now, how many books are there in the Soul Force saga?
There's five. Five in the series, plus I've collected them into two little box sets.
Oh, okay, cool. Now, do you ever have is that a complete story, or are you thinking of revisiting it at some point?
It's pretty much complete. The trick is, with a lot of those fantasy stories, by the time you get to the end, the main character is so powerful, it's hard to come up with a new thing to challenge him, you know?
Yeah, I had one of my series, I actually had the, it's based on a gaming system. So they, I kept having the character having to start over at level one with a new character class every book. That solved that problem.
Yeah. I never thought about trying something like that, but that is a neat way to, you know, it's sort of like that. I forget that movie with Tom Cruise where he kept dying over and over and coming back to life.
Oh yeah. I'm going to have me thinking about that. That was actually a pretty good film. I was surprised at how good that was. I actually enjoyed it more than I thought I was. It was one of those movies I went to a matinee because it was cheaper and figured, well, you know, I got some time on my hand today. I'm going to go out to a movie. And it was just kind of a whimsical choice. And I was pleasantly surprised at how much I enjoyed it.
So I like the concept of it.
Yeah, definitely. Go ahead.
Go ahead with your question.
No, that's good. All right. And then for your other books, the Impossible Wizard, which is is it the Aegis of Merlin?
Yeah, the Aegis of Merlin. Yeah.
And is that how many books are in that series? Seven now?
There's eight. One of them, the fifth book, is I needed a break from writing the main character, so I wrote like a side story of the character he encounters in book six.
Okay.
But I wrote her story and how she, you know, went from where she was to, you know, just before she meets him in book six. So it's actually an eight book series, but I didn't want to include it on the Amazon page because I was afraid if somebody got to that book and Connery wasn't in it, the main character, that they would be upset, you know, that it wasn't really, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. I've got a prequel I wrote, for my first series. I'd written book two, and one of the side characters, I just felt like I needed to write his story, you know, to flesh it out, because people were asking me questions. I was getting questions by email and online on social media about him. And I feel like, all right, I should write something to kind of tell a little bit of his backstory. But I didn't want it to be book three. So I have it separated, and for a long time I gave it away to newsletter subscribers. It wasn't even available anywhere, but through my website. But I've since posted it up and put it up on all the stores to give up people opportunity to pick it up if they want. And but you're right, you've got to set that expectation for your readers, and you don't want them to think that you're taking everything in a whole new direction and kind of throwing them off track.
Right. I called mine an Aegis of Merlin story. That way that it would sort of be, it's in the same world, but it's a story set in the same world with different characters.
And that, you know, that kind of freedom, when you've built a richly fleshed out world, like it seems like you have, that you have the freedom to kind of explore different corners of it, don't you?
Oh yeah. That was one of the fun things. With this series was after the first four books, which is his first year, then in each one of the next ones, I take him, you know, and explore another little section. You know, one goes to the fantasy version of Russia, and another one goes to the fantasy version of London, you know, and he jumps around to different spots, you know, on missions and things like that, which I thought was fun just because it let me make up a new little corner of the world.
Yeah. So are you finished with 8 books at this point, or are you thinking of continuing on with this series?
No, I'm going to write. I got an idea for a problem. I'm thinking maybe a trilogy, but I don't want to commit to a trilogy, but I got another idea. I'm going to write after the project I'm finishing up now. I'm hoping to have it out, you know, for the holidays.
Okay. So that'll be coming out very soon then?
The new series,
the new potential trilogy you're talking about will be coming out in 2020 holiday season. Or 2019 holiday season.
I'm hoping.
All right. That's exciting to look forward to. Is it an epic fantasy, or is it a more of a like an urban fantasy kind of setting?
The new one's an epic fantasy, and of course, when I do the new trilogy in that Aegis of Merlin world, will be in the same world.
Okay.
Yeah, I like to switch back and forth because I have a hard time concentrating on the same kind of a thing too many times in a row. I need to switch my settings, you know.
I completely agree. I do the same thing now. I've got 4 distinct trilogy or 4 distinct series out there at this point. And, you know, some of my readers are like, when's the next book in this series coming out or this other series? And, you know, I have to say, I'm just taking a little break, but I will come back to it. So just stand by. Cause I have that idea, you know, the new idea that pops into my head, and I am an artist. I am a writer who writes creatively. So I have to follow some of that creative energy at some point, for myself before I go back and revisit something that might be a little more business focused, where it's a good business decision. I enjoy writing those books just as much, but, sometimes they're not necessarily the preeminent thing on my mind.
Oh yeah, it happens. Especially if you come up with a character and they really get into your head and they just won't leave you alone. I had to write a book just to get a character out of my head one time because I even had dreams about the guy and he just wouldn't leave me alone until I wrote that book.
It's funny how your brain kind of gets on you, doesn't it?
Yeah. That book actually went faster than any book I've ever written because I knew I had the character inside and out.
That's kind of fun.
Yeah, it was fun.
I find that I try to trust my mind to get me out of like corners I've written myself into. You know, I sometimes I'll, you know, read like look over, and I do a very brief outline. It's nothing very fleshed out at all, but at least I have an idea. All right, in tomorrow when I start writing, the characters are going to go to this place and try to do this, and then I go to bed and I kind of imagine that my brain is thinking about that all night long. And when I wake up the next morning and start to write fresh, it seems like it just flows.
Yep. Stephen King talked about, I don't know if, did you read his On Writing by Stephen King?
It's a great book. I highly recommend it to everybody out there in the audience that's considering writing, just to get a sense, if nothing else, of how Stephen King writes.
Right. He calls them the boys in the basement. He feeds them information and they churn up ideas for him. That's sort of the same thing.
So what's your favorite way of connecting with your readers? Do you have are you active on social media, or is there another platform you prefer to use?
I have a newsletter that I email like every week or 10 days. That's my main one. I have a Facebook page, and you know, if anybody contacts me with questions or whatever, I answer as soon as I can, but, I'm not anywhere near as active on that as I probably should be. I kind of do my thing, and if somebody reaches out, I'm happy to talk with them, but it's not something I'm as proactive with as I maybe should be.
Well, you know, the person gave me some great advice regarding that kind of thing a long time ago, and I've taken it to heart with my writing as well, is, you know, pick the platform you're comfortable with and then do the others as you feel necessary. And I think that's just the best way to look at this is to, look at, I don't know, you know, if email's your thing, then focus on email and then do Facebook as necessary. You know, Facebook seems to work really well for me. I also have a newsletter, but like Twitter is the thing that confounds me, and I'm there and I post things, but I can't seem to manage to get engagement. But I know authors that have huge, active, engaged Twitter followings, and they I scratch my head and just go, I don't know what it is. I don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, I don't either. I have a hard enough time, I figure, coming up with something interesting to tell my subscribers, you know, every week to 10 days without trying to tweet half a dozen times a day about random stuff. I just can't summon up the gumption to do it.
You know, I had a similar issue, and one of the things that helped me was when I just was at a loss for something to write, and I remembered, I don't know if you know who Tammy Lebreck is. She writes newsletter Ninja book.
Oh yeah, I got her book.
Yeah, and she made a comment once on a podcast about, you know, just write about something random in your life. And so we had like a septic tank back up in her house and we were having a party that weekend. So I wrote about it. I just said, you know, we were having people over in 2 hours and I had crap coming into my basement and no working toilets in my house. And I got the most amazing feedback and response from my readers. You know, they were like, oh my gosh, that happened to us. And what happened? You got to tell us what happened. And, you know, I was amazed. So ever since then, I've just talked about, you know, random happy things or random disasters that have happened in the course of my daily life, you know, going through the day-to-day mundane things that I never thought anybody would necessarily be interested in. But for some reason, people seem like, oh, well, this is nice. I talked about my son's wedding and all kinds of stuff. So I don't know if that helps you at all. But once I broke through that barrier, I found it. I don't get terribly personal about what's going on in my life, but, you know, just telling a random story about, you know, septic tank issues amazed me how many people engaged me on that story.
Yeah, I've done sort of similar things. I know in January I told over four emails, you know, over four different mailings, I told, you know, the story of how I got started in self-publishing. My fans seem to enjoy hearing that. So that did work, part at least.
So all you listeners out there, you know, what do you like to hear your author friends, you know, people you're following talk about? You know, what do you want to hear about what they do a little bit in their day-to-day challenges that get in the way of their writing? I know that's a lot of what I write about is the things that keep me from getting stuff done. So let us know. You can always leave a comment and we'd love to hear from you. And I'm sure James would as well. So, you know, as we wrap up, James, why don't you tell us a little bit about what you're currently working on?
I'm writing the last book of a 6-book epic fantasy series called The Dragonspire Chronicles. It's about dragon riders and this young guy who wants to be one really bad, but he's too small and not enough of a warrior to do it. And the first book he goes out trying to find his own dragon. He said the tent village isn't going to let him have one of theirs, he's going to go out and get one of his own. And all sorts of adventures happen in the meantime. And I'm about 15,000 words into the last book, and I'm hoping to wrap it up this month. So that's my current project.
Well, James, thanks for coming on the show. It's always great to have you, and I offer you a standing invitation when you have a new project or something you'd like to chat about. You are welcome to reach out to us, and we'll get you scheduled back in to come talk to us.
That's fantastic. I appreciate it, and thanks for having me on. My first podcast, I thought, went pretty well.
That's going to wrap up this episode of the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast. I hope you've all enjoyed it. Make sure you catch up with us for the next episode, and also for more from the Fantasy Focus community over on Facebook and on our website at fantasy-focus.com. Leave a comment on this episode. Let me know what's on your mind. Also on the website, on each podcast episode post, you'll find links to subscribe to the show on your favorite mobile app, whether you're on iOS or Android. Even if you just want to subscribe by email, there are ways to do that, so check that out. We have a lot of great authors coming up, and I don't want you to miss any of them. Our next author is going to be James Agabin, and he's going to be on the next podcast. I'm looking forward to that, and you should too. That's it for this episode. I want to wrap up the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast, as I always do, by reminding you I'm your host, Jamie Davis, author of Fun Fantasy Reads. Please don't forget, you can follow me over on Facebook. I have a Facebook author page at Jamie Davis Books, my Facebook group, and also on my website, jamiedavisbooks.com, where you can find out other ways to follow me on Twitter and contact me there or whatever you want to do. Also, don't forget, if you check the sidebar on the right-hand side, you can actually get a free book just by signing up for my newsletter. Whatever you do, though, I want you to come back and check out the next podcast with James. It's going to be a lot of fun. In the meantime, I'll just remind you, just like I do every single episode, make sure you keep your eyes open, folks. You don't know what you're missing. There's magic all around you.